Podtacular episode 328, Dust and Echoes for October 28th, 2012.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and today we are going to be talking with two people from a very fine podcast that's over the pond from where most of us reside, and it is the podcast Dust and Echoes. So today we have Tom and the Wolf here with us today. Welcome, guys.
Hello, thank you. Thank you for having us.
It's an honor to be here.
So you guys have been, you just released your 25th episode earlier this week.
Yeah.
And you've been around since back in the spring, right?
Yeah, I think beginning of the year we started.
Yeah, so I have a confession. I actually subscribed to your podcast about 3 or 4 shows into it, seeing it posted on HBO. But I didn't start listening to it until about a month ago. So I started with the first episode and then came all the way up through the most recent one. And I feel bad because you referenced our podcast a lot on your guys, and the fact that I haven't been listening just kind of made me feel bad.
That's all right. There's a lot of great content out there at the moment, so it's hard to keep on top of it all sometimes.
We just talk about the things we like in the Halo community, and you're obviously one of those things. We weren't expecting you to hear it. So.
Well, I mean, when you guys put out a good podcast like you do, people are going to take notice of it.
Yeah, that's kind of always the mentality we've gone into it with, and we try and put out the best show possible.
Yeah, we've been surprised that the number of people from the Halo community, we're both quite surprised at how easy and easygoing and accepting people are. It's been awesome, the kind of response we've got from our podcast.
Yeah. Well, one of the nice things about your podcast, it's it plays to a style that's almost very similar to how Podtacular started off, where it's just kind of addressing kind of current events in Halo, and then you have a couple of shows where you talk about some of the fiction, some of the books. You guys had a show where you talked with Bravo, and it's just those kind of shows I think really jive well with the majority of the Halo community, because you're talking on major topics of interest that a lot of people are talking to, and it's just another point of view that people are interested in. People want the ability to have or to hear multiple views of one story or another, and I think you guys kind of help provide that.
Yeah, we often come at Halo from two different angles kind of within the podcast, so I think that also helps, because like I say, I mean, I always look out for stuff where I'm going to get to see someone else's point of view on the universe, so I definitely think that helps.
You're almost like the British version of Podtacular almost.
Yes, very much in my own head as well. So Tom looking at the world and me coming from my own brain, it we do complement each other, I think. Yeah, Podtacular was definitely an influence on me coming to it. I've always been a fan of the show. Well, not always. I wasn't around at the beginning, but I've listened to it for a long time before we started doing ours. And yeah, I really like your guys' style, so it was definitely an influence. Like, just talk about anything in Halo that seems relevant at the time, really.
Just a suggestion. Don't do the kind of stuff that we've been doing recently where I just put 6 shows out in 1 week. It's a time drain, and unless you have the time, there might be some other more important things to worry about.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're built for that kind of output.
we're really not built for that either, but
we've both got full-time jobs as well, so we're amazed about the content you get out, because like we've heard you talk as well, like talking about how you've got a full-time job to do as well, and we struggle to do the 1.75 episodes a week we do. And sometimes we even miss a week, so yeah, it's hard. Not that easy to put these things out, so well played, sir.
I mean, I haven't gotten a full like 8 hours of sleep for the past month. On any one night, that's how much I've been doing for, like, I've even had to work overtime at work. Like, there was 1 week a couple weeks ago where I had to work 10 extra hours just to get some stuff done. And then on top of Podtacular stuff. So it's something where I'm kind of doing this mostly for the community, just to kind of stay on top of all the information that's coming out, trying to kind of be the information provider to try to get that out as quickly as possible. But at the same time, most of the time you can kind of condense that into one show to cover a few topics. But with how we ramble on and with how we go into discussions, it turns out to be almost an episode per topic.
From my point of view as a fan of your show, if you drop something, no one would blame you. You work really amazingly hard. And if you want to take a week off, we completely understand. I really, really appreciate you being on top of all the news. But
that's mostly going to be next week.
No one would blame you if you drop something.
I'm going to take a little time off, enjoy Halo 4. I'll be working on some video stuff. We'll be doing achievement guides and a couple other things. But we'll be releasing we're just looking at releasing one show on the week of the release to talk about the bulletin and talk about general thoughts of the game. So next week will be good.
Yeah, we're planning to do much the same, I think, when the actual game comes out.
Yeah, the fans will have their hands full anyway. They won't need Halo news so much anymore. We'll actually have Halo 4 to play. So we'll all be less reliant on you.
Yeah. Well, half of our shows this week have been kind of superfluous, that's the word, where we talked to the For Dawn to Dawn guys about their Community Evolved project, and then we talked to Ready Up Live about kind of how they made their Requiem Awaits music video, which if you guys haven't seen it yet, you guys should definitely check it out.
It is awesome.
Have seen it.
It's very awesome. Well, I'm talking to the audience mainly. Oh. I'm figuring you guys have seen it.
So. There's an audience as well. Oh, you think I'd be used to this podcasting thing by now?
You think you have 25 of them under your belt. Well, technically 26 because you were on the modcast. So,
yes.
Good point.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
So it's definitely an interesting field to go into, the whole podcasting thing. And with Halo 4 just coming out in a few days, content's just flying left and right, and it's hard to keep your head on straight and try to track every single piece you can and figure out what's the most important parts and what stuff you kind of just leave on the shelf. And most of the time, it's just pulling stuff that's straight off a waypoint. Don't really go into Reddit that much or HBO. It's just kind of go from the source, and that's about it.
Yeah, we tried to cover quite a lot of it to start with. But we were just kind of sending ourselves crazy trying to keep up with everything. So we came up with a policy that we were just going to talk about the things that really excited us. And that's how we've managed to keep our heads screwed on over the last 6 months.
And I think that's another kind of strong point to your podcast, too, because you guys generally stay on topic. You don't get into big ramblings like we do, because we usually try to not necessarily shotgun each topic, but we try to get through them at a decently reasonable pace just because of how much content there's been lately. But that's one of the things about your guys' podcast that I really enjoy, is that you do talk about stuff that you guys are really passionate about and really interested in, and you have very good viewpoints into those topics that you decide to talk about.
Thank you.
That's some of the best praise we've got. We do just talk about the topics on how they affect us and how we think about them, really. It was just a chance for us to chat, and we're both passionate about Halo, so it's primarily what we want to be talking about anyway, so it's not a big problem for us. Plus, I've got nothing else in common with Tom whatsoever.
Ouch.
That's a joke. It's a joke.
See how he treats me in public.
Oh, poor Tom. Wolf, you do seem to be the more chatty one of the bunch.
Yeah, we try and keep measures in place to let Tom get a word in edgewise. Once I get going, I won't stop. So
I sometimes have to just talk until he stops.
He's like, yeah,
he manages to edit.
I'll be honest, in a podcasting secret, quite often what happens is Tom will just say what he wants to say anyway while I'm talking, and I'll cut me out later.
Touche, sir. Touche. But let's get into some of the back history of how you guys started getting involved with Halo and Dust and Echoes. So starting off, give us a little background history on your influence in Halo, how you got introduced to the series, kind of what game you got pulled in on, and just kind of elaborate on that as much as you want to.
Well, I joined it quite late, actually. I joined it towards the tail end of Halo 3. It was watching Wolf play Sierra 117 in Halo 3 that kind of drew me in, and it just looks like such an amazing game that I had to get my hands on it. And kind of from there, like ODST Reach, that passion just kind of grew and grew and grew, and I got more sucked into the universe and the extended fiction, and then started to kind of look at the forums and visit places like HBO and Waypoint and NeoGAF, and it started to kind of snowball from there, really. But Wife's been with the series for a long time.
Yeah, I came on in Halo 1. I bought an Xbox for Halo. There was a magazine I'm quite obsessed with called Edge, and they gave it 10 out of 10. And they're quite harsh at rating games. They'd only ever given out one 10 out of 10 before that. So I was like, all right, I've got to play this game. I've got to check this out. And yeah, got the original Xbox on its launch day along with a copy of Halo. And I've been addicted ever since then. It's still an addiction that keeps growing. It's why I love Halo so much is that whatever you put into it, whatever passion you put into it, especially now we started doing a podcast, like creatively, it really rewards you, and it gives you the tools to be creative and be passionate, and it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And so, yeah, when Tom mentioned wanting to do a Halo podcast, I'd been into podcasting for a long time as well. And we had a little bit of experience podcasting before. We'd done a Doctor Who one briefly. But, I jumped at the chance. I'd wanted to do a Halo podcast anyway. All I needed was someone else who'd want to talk about Halo. So when the opportunity came around, I grabbed it with both hands. And, yeah, I've not regretted it once.
So what was kind of the influence behind you all starting podcasts out there? There's tons of Halo podcasts out there if you search iTunes. I could probably name about 10 off the top of my head. So what kind of convinced you that you wanted to just go ahead and do a podcast? And what was kind of going through your head and thoughts of making your podcast kind of unique and just for you? Or was it just something that you wanted to do a podcast and you didn't really care what anyone else thought?
Well, I think to start with, kind of my idea as a fairly newcomer to the Halo series was that I wanted to put a podcast together that would kind of teach other newcomers the little tricks or things they may have not learned yet. So that was kind of where the idea evolved originally in my head. But then once I started talking away more about what we could do, it kind of snowballed from there into just kind of a more general podcast where we talk about the things we really love. And I think we'd both kind of had a little bit of experience with looking at different websites and listening to different podcasts within the community. And it seemed like such a vibrant community and such a passionate community that we were talking about Halo all the time anyway. So it just made sense to stick a couple of microphones in front of us and put it out there so that there was, you know, kind of another point of view out there for people to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I got into podcasting between ODST and Halo Reach. I was getting more and more obsessed with Halo, and I started listening to the Bungie podcast, and that was the first podcast I'd ever listened to. And I got obsessed with just those for a while. For a few months, I just listened to those again and again and again. And then I thought, well, I wonder if there's any fan ones out there. So I'd done a search, and I found a few, including Podtacular. And I got into podcasting through that, and podcasting is almost as much an obsession as Halo is. So, like I said, when Tom had the idea of combining the two, I jumped at the chance. And as to what the podcast was going to be when we started out, Tom had this idea in his head, and I didn't really know what it was going to be when we done episode one. I just knew that I wanted to talk about Halo, so we came up with a loosest topic for episode one, which I think is why we love Halo, and just talked about that. And I had no idea what episode two was going to be at that point. Now we just talk about whatever happens to be on our minds, which obviously at the moment is always Halo 4 news.
Well, yeah, because that's the game that's coming out here in a few days.
Exactly. We're very obsessed with that right now.
Yeah, definitely. What's kind of been a driving force for the podcast ever since you started it. I know you guys haven't had many guests on, and you're mostly influenced by just kind of the Halo news, but is there some other kind of influence to that you keep kind of are wanting to see kind of how or that you want to see the podcast evolve with?
We definitely want to get more guests on. It's been really good having having people on and getting different points of view, especially there's a few people we'd like to get on that maybe haven't had quite as big a voice in the community yet, but we think that they've got a lot to offer. So there's a few people we'd like to get on. So we'll definitely do more of that. But we kind of want to get a little bit more active in the community. So there'll be a lot of things like group podcasts and doing like play dates and things like that. But I guess as well as that, we kind of want to explore the fiction a little more. And now Halo 4 is finally coming out. We're kind of going to get to do a little bit of that in the new year. And there'll be more episodes, I think, focused towards the actual extended universe of Halo, as much as there will be to like any kind of weekly news or anything from the bulletin.
Okay.
The other one's gone quiet.
I'm still here.
Oh, there he is.
He yes. Dropped for a second.
Was it okay. Just me that dropped?
Yeah, it was just you that dropped.
I apologize.
That's all right. Did you hear the question?
No, Tom was halfway through speaking when I last thing I heard.
Oh, well, so just, yeah, so your turn to answer the question. So I was basically asking, is there any kind of influence?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, okay.
There's nothing I really keep in mind from episode to episode. Getting more guests on in the future would be awesome. We're quite, I'm not saying we, speak for Tom, but I'm quite jealous.
Too.
Quite jealous that you got Sal on.
Oh, yeah?
We'd love to get Sal on, yeah.
Halo Fan for Life is awesome. So, we're going to get him on at some point. We're trying to work that out. The only problem with it is trying to organize the time. It's difficult enough to meet up with Tom on a regular regular times to get the time put across. But we will make the time. We will get it on. Because, as Tom said, every time we do get a different point of view in, it really, really helps see the universe differently. And so, as good as it is listening to all these other podcasts, getting them on ours, get it to our listeners. But pretty sure everyone that listens to our show will listen to a number of Halo podcasts as well. Everyone we've talked to listens to a few different ones because you got that mindset as a Halo fan that listens to podcasts. You're just out there trying to find more stuff. So it feels like there's room for lots of podcasts to exist because, as you said earlier, Dustin, it's about getting different views and different takes on the same news, and as long as we got something to contribute, we'll continue doing it. I can't imagine there'll ever be a time that I don't want to talk about Halo, and I'm pretty sure the same is true for Tom, so I think it'll be all right.
That's good to hear. So you guys were able to go to Eurogamer, right?
Yeah.
So what have you thought of Halo 4 so far? What are your general impressions, and does anything kind of stick out to you that you have concerns about, or just something that sticks out that's just really awesome and can't wait to see in the final product? Kind of address those things while you talk it out.
My initial impressions were that it was amazing. I really enjoyed playing it. The thing I enjoyed the most, I think, was getting to grips with the different tactical packages and support upgrades, and kind of trying different combinations in my loadouts and seeing what worked, what didn't work for my playstyle. And I'm really looking forward to being able to sit down and actually kind of play with different iterations and work out what's going to be of best advantage to me when I'm playing multiplayer, which is the part of Halo I love the most, to be honest.
For me, I was just really, really relieved when I finally got hands on with it. I wasn't that worried. All the news had been good, but obviously it's not Bungie anymore. It's 343. So there was that in the back of your head. It's like, is this going to play right? And after a few games, only took me about three games, and I was having so much fun. I was having so much fun with that game. And I wasn't doing particularly well. I was losing a lot. But even in the matches where I got owned, I had a moment in the game where I just felt absolutely kick up. And it played like Halo. That was the thing that really, really sold me, is like multiplayer wise, it definitely plays with Halo. You asked if there's any concerns. I've only got a few little niggly ones. Not that I think this is true. It's just that I don't know that it's not yet. I don't know what the campaign's going to be like. Obviously, not played any of that. And I really hope they get it right, because that's my favorite part of Halo. And I'm slightly concerned about the progression system, as we've never had anything like it in Halo before. I'm slightly concerned that it's going to change the feel of it. But having played it now, I'm a lot less concerned than I was, because for me, it didn't matter what loadout you chose so much. It didn't change the game to a level where it made it feel unfair if someone had a certain weapon or a certain armor ability or a certain tactical package or whatever. It all, at all times to me, it felt balanced, and that if I'd made the right choices, I would have won. The reason I died is because I didn't make the right choices. So
fair enough.
it's playing well. That's the main thing. That was the main thing I took away from Eurogamer, is that Halo 4 is playing so well, and I really can't wait to own it. So yeah, the best thing about Eurogamer for me is that any concerns I had lessened afterwards, which is what you want.
Right.
It was a definite positive experience. What did you feel when you played it?
So whenever I played at New York Comic Con, I felt the game was really solid in terms of war games. There are some aspects, and this is for every Halo gamer, it's just some parts you just don't get or don't get a feel for.
Oh yes.
But like Solus, I just cannot play on that map to save my life.
That's my favorite map.
I do not like Solus.
Oh wow. I really enjoyed it.
At least the times I've played it, it just does not gel with me.
Maybe it's a playstyle thing. Maybe you've got a very different playstyle to me.
And that's quite possibly true. And then the light rifle, I hear a lot of competitive players talk of that, and it is one of the more powerful primary weapons that you can get, but I love my DMR-BR combo.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because I can use those two weapons really effectively. So I use whatever tactical package lets you do the two primaries. I forget what it's called at the moment.
Firepower, I think.
Okay, yeah. So I use firepower, and I use DMR, BR for my weapons.
Yeah, I tried that a couple of times.
I think that's going to be my initial loadout to start with, is DMR, BR combo.
The problem I'm having is choosing between the plasma pistol and the bolt shot now. I mean, I've always liked to have a plasma pistol on me. I'm a big fan of my noob combo. And
the few now, times I've been able to use the bolt shot, I haven't had much success with it, to be honest.
I couldn't get the timing down.
My success rate was pretty low, but obviously none of us have learned it yet. We've only had a few hours on it each. And when I got it to work, it felt really good. But I'd say I got it to work about 1 in 10 times. But it was fun and worth it, that 1 in 10. Once I've got it down, I reckon it's going to be a good tool. For me, the rifle of choice is the carbine. I was really enjoying that.
The carbine's nice.
Yeah,
carbine, I'll give props to the carbine.
The high fire rate is well worth it. Tom, which was your favorite rifle in the end?
I was all about the DMR. That thing was just amazing. I found the light rifle really hard to use, though. I don't know whether or not it felt like it had a higher sensitivity. I couldn't aim with it quite as well as I could with the DMR, but maybe that's just because I'm used to playing it for the last 2 years. So
I think the light rifle might be the one that is difficult to master, but might be ultimately more worth it if you can. But where it's got a low fire rate, it's going to be harder to get that headshot in when you need it, I think. That's my theory. I don't know that yet. I need more time.
Well, so the interesting thing about the light rifle is it's pretty much how we saw the BR in the Halo 2 demo. It's the three-shot burst when unzoom, and then a one-shot that has a little bit more power behind it, because it's basically a concentration of the three into one shot, and it's more powerful single shot when you're zoomed in.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the balance, isn't it?
Yeah, that's where the balance of the light rifle comes in, and I don't know. The aiming on this just seems a little different for me.
Yeah, yeah, I had trouble with the aiming, I have to admit.
In my mind, the light rifle is like the polar opposite of the carbine. So where the carbine fires fast, but it's weaker shots, I think from what I've heard people say, it takes 7 shots to down someone with the carbine. And zoomed in, it only takes 4 with the light rifle. But it's got a really low fire rate, so it's harder to get that headshot. It's a very difficult rifle to use, so I'm not sure how popular or actually useful it's going to be. It's going to be one of those things where we need to get hold of it all and work out what fits our playstyle, I think.
Right. I think we're going to see a lot of competitive players use a BR or DMR start, and then either do the fire... Firepower tactical package for their, so they can get the secondary primary, so the alternate BR DMR, and some of them will probably see use magnums instead, and then there'll be the magnum and then whatever primary combo based on whether or not people like the DMR and Reach better or like the BR and Halo 3 better. But I do have to point out something where the difference between using a BR and a DMR in the situations that they're designed for it makes a big difference.
Oh, yes.
From what I played at New York Comic Con, when you're a little bit closer, you definitely win with the battle rifle more times than not with a DMR and vice versa. There are times when you can get lucky. I definitely got lucky using a DMR against someone with a BR that was maybe about 20 feet away from me, and I just outshot him better. So it's definitely possible to outshoot players that aren't as skilled as you, but if you're pitting two players of equal skill against each other, then the weapons that you choose for the certain situation does make a big, significant difference.
Yeah, it really does. I tried to use the battle rifle long range when I first got hold of it, and somebody with a DMR absolutely decimated me, so it's definitely going to make a difference.
I really like that, though. I think they've done a good job balancing them, because like even with the light rifle included, it feels like every weapon's got its own specific way of being used and the situation when you should use it. And so it's really about picking the right tool for the job. You've got to pick the right tool for the map. If you're one of the best players, you should be able to use all of these tools well, I think. You shouldn't be too reliant on just the BR or just the DMR. If you really, really want to own Halo 4, in my mind, you're going to have to learn the whole sandbox and like bring out the right tool when you need it. So the firepower armor mod. Sorry, my
brain said... The tactical package.
Yeah, yeah. My brain said perk, which...
it's close, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the armor mod firepower that you're talking about picking, Dustin, it's a good one if you like to have a rifle for the right job. Whereas me, I wouldn't consider myself pro. I'd consider myself like casual but good, like good casual level. I'd get owned by a pro.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am too.
I do love my plasma pistol, especially if there's vehicles on the map. I'd feel naked without
one. Well, of course. So, what about Ford Unto Dawn? Have you guys enjoyed that so far?
Oh, yes.
Yes, that has been amazing.
What do you guys think of the most recent episode, episode 4?
They keep getting better, don't they?
Yeah, although I was talking on our podcast, and a little excessive use of slow motion in this one, in my personal opinion.
I did listen to that podcast, yeah, I remember you saying.
Yeah. I don't know, just a tiny thing to me that just kind of stuck out. But overall, I think the series is brilliant. I think for marketing Halo 4, it's an interesting take on doing something like a Halo movie, yet it's not exactly a Halo movie.
They've done really well on the budget they had. It all looks really, really impressive. They've been quite clever. Like, I really liked what they did with the Elite and how it was cloaked for the majority of the time we saw it. So that, you know, you didn't have to pay quite as much for CGI costs, but it still felt really menacing, like every now and again when it would pass through some smoke or something like that, or a footstep in a puddle. You really got the sense of it being a menacing creature, but you didn't actually have to see it. So they've been very, very clever with how they've spent their money, and I think it's paid off. It looks really good. I think there's definitely a call for a proper series based on the Halo universe now.
I think what Tom's saying about the using the constraints of the episode, like having the cloaked Elite, they've managed to do that really good trick that creative people do, which is, this is the constraint I've got, how can I use it to the benefit of the story? So like where they've cloaked the Elite, that actually added loads of tension to that scene and made it really, really intense. I love the cloaked Elite stuff. So yeah, I agree with Tom completely that they've taken their restraints. Not that they've got a ton, it's still a Microsoft budget, but they don't have enough for a full movie, but they've made it feel so epic all the way through. And by taking these constraints, by taking the first few episodes to set up character, saving all the budget for these last two episodes by the looks of it, with all the bombast in the scenes where they can go to town with the CG and stuff, like the needles exploding on the wall and everything else that just looks awesome. I'm really, really enjoying it. The slow motion thing didn't affect my enjoyment of the episode. I do agree it was used a lot, though. It was definitely noticeable, but it didn't make me enjoy it any less. I thought it was just cool seeing all of the jackals and the elites and the carnage brought to life so well.
Yeah. They did a good job with making the CGI stuff almost lifelike.
Yeah. That elite looked amazing.
The elites, the jackals, everything else really sold me. I've got no complaints personally. I've really, really enjoyed the series. It's got a couple of cheesy lines in it in a few places. But overall, it's really, really fun. Halo's always had bits of cheese in it, though. It's part of the thing. It goes hand
bits
in hand.
Bits of cheese?
Little bits of cheese. mini baby bells for the UK listeners.
I remember having those way back in the day.
Oh, they are across the seas. That works then.
Yeah, they do. they're usually like in the... There's usually a separate kind of like middle section in one of the idols that's cheese over by where we have our delis. So they're there sometimes. Cool. I grew up on that stuff.
Yeah. That's a good cheese, Mini Baby Bell. We recommend that cheese. That's got the Dustin Echo seal of approval.
Fair enough. Anything else that kind of sticks out to you guys and that's Halo related? I would ask you about the books, but I don't know how far you've read, and I'm in the middle of Cryptum right now, so.
I've read all of them. Tom's working on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've read the Forerunner books. I haven't read the Karen Travis ones yet.
So you're in the middle of the Cryptum right now?
Yeah, I'm at the part where they've discovered that the flood got released, and they just finished scanning the second planet, and they're about to go to the third one.
Ah, all right. How are you finding it? I mean, you've had some cool parts already. You've met the Didact.
Yeah, we met the Didact. A story being told from the purview of Bornstellar. And
how are you finding Greg Bear's writing style? Because it's a bit different from the other stuff we've had.
It was really hard to get used to, but I'm not really able to kind of comprehend on a like too detailed specific like. Well, I can comprehend it, but it's not something I remember after a first read of a book. So I'm getting all the general ideas.
Yeah. It's a bit denser, that's the thing. You do need to take a bit of time to digest that stuff. I had to read it twice before it got in my head. The first read through, I knew it was awesome and I really enjoyed it, but I couldn't tell you what happened.
Well, there's some small details that I personally don't necessarily remember, like the name of the planets that people have gone to.
Yeah.
I'll remember from this one. It's like they went to these three planets to see if the doom to all humanity and everything else in the galaxy has escaped from whatever stasis they were putting on this world that the humans were holding, and then it got released somehow.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's about the extent of detail that I can really get into. Is kind of what's the main goal of an objective that's being told here in the story.
Where it's hard science fiction and we're getting all this Forerunner stuff, there's a lot of weird names to remember. It's not just the planets. It's as far as the Didact and everything else, it's like, I know we were exposed to the Didact before in the terminals, but things are named like Fawn Hakor and Sharam Hakor and all of this strange stuff. It does take a while to sink in. I struggle reading fantasy books like that because I struggle to remember normal names, let alone weird ones.
Yeah.
It is worth it, though. It is a really, really good read. But it's not an easy one. I have to admit, it does take a bit of work.
Yeah, well, this is just me personally. But I find if you can kind of skip over the more descriptive words that I'm guessing this is just Greg Bear's style.
Yeah.
And if you can actually pull out just what they're actually talking about, then it's a pretty interesting read.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I got through the book, to be honest with you.
Oh, I took the exact opposite approach. I read every word very slowly and very carefully, and therefore it takes me a long time to get through it. But if I skip words, I get confused very easily. So I haven't got a brain that can do that, but I've never studied anything properly. So that's probably a skill you learn from university and things like that.
Maybe.
I have to just take my time.
We won't be ones to judge. So anything else Halo related that you want to kind of talk about?
Have you guys talked about the hidden message? I know you've done the first two on the videos.
There wasn't one last week.
It's more hidden. There was one last week.
There was?
It's not done in the same way. Rather than highlighting it, I'll let you know how to find it if you guys want. You know they've done the Forge breakdown? On the first picture, if you click it, it's actually a link.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I won't spoil it now if you guys want to cover it.
Okay.
It's nice little nod to future fiction.
Might have to do that one tonight as well. Sorry, it won't be a podcast. It'll be a vidcast because that's what we've been doing.
I did not mean to get you more work, sir. I know you need some time off.
Don't worry about it. I'm going to be in full crunch mode until November 6th anyway, so.
Oh, I hope you don't collapse like when Halo 4 comes out. That would be
dude, terrible. I'm about ready to collapse right now as we're recording this thing. So yeah, I'm literally sitting here with my eyes closed, and I know that the topics of the conversation are, but I've literally tuned out to about half the conversation so far.
Well, see, the thing is, you're so on top of covering all the news, we've got nothing left to talk about.
Well, I mean, I hope I've been asking decent questions.
You have. I mean, as far as we're going with that, but if you ask us what else to talk about, you've covered it all. You've done really, really good. I love. Yeah. Who was the name of the chap you got on the hidden message videos?
So he's Brian Newman. He's a
Brian Newman
gaffer and
I've seen him from HBO
guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he is awesome. He really knows his stuff. So
I thought Grim knew his stuff. No. Brian blows him out of the water.
So are they going to have a cannon off? That would be awesome.
So we did a book show. We were going to do like the full first six books, but we only really talked about the first two, and we had a lot of talk into Thursday War and Primordium and some of the more recent books. So we actually had one of those shows out 2 weeks ago, I want to say.
Yeah, I listened to most of that one. I didn't get all the way through it.
Yeah, so Jeff and Brian were on that show, and I've been trying to get them on this coming week to do another show to hopefully wrap up the rest of the books.
I'll be honest, as the reason why I didn't get all the way through it, it's not because I wasn't enjoying the episode. It's those guys are so hot on their fiction. They started talking about Halo 4 stuff and I got scared because I'm quite spoiler phobic. I'm going to listen to it after.
We made sure we didn't put spoilers in there. So
good.
It's not. Yeah.
I'm just terribly nervous.
So there were spoilers about books if you haven't read them, but there were no Halo 4 spoilers.
Good. That's what
I'm Halo 4 spoilers, we have a no tolerance policy at Podtacular for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we got a similar one on Dust and Echoes. It's just those guys are so intelligent, I'm worried they'd guess something right.
Well, that's when I go back and post and it's like, do I need to remove this? So, I mean, that kind of introduces some time processing in the podcast sometimes. Sometimes we can't say stuff and I have to pull some stuff out. So
Yeah. We'll try not to make any work. Neither me nor Tom know anything about Halo 4 because we've been spoiler phobes as well. So should be okay.
And that's perfectly fine. Thankfully, I haven't been spoiled much anything about the game so far. So I've been blessed. I know there's been other people that have definitely seen or heard about what happens in the game via illegitimate means. So, granted, they're community leaders, so it's something they have to put up with, but it's one of those things that kind of sucks.
Yeah, it must be one of the real downsides to being like one of the Waypoint mods, having to deal with all that kind of stuff. But
yeah,
it's one reason why I couldn't do that job. it's so important to me to like enjoy Halo 4 as it's intended to be. I'm hardly on the internet at the moment as it is. I'm looking forward to being able to surf freely again.
Yeah.
But at the moment, I'm hardly
November
going 6th. On the internet.
November 6th.
So close.
So close. Yeah, I was hoping to get a media copy so we could like preload videos for when the release came out, but they were extremely limited for this release, which I'm really not surprised too much because of how popular Halo 4 has been going around to a lot of different crowds of people. Definitely more so than Halo Reach was.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot more popular over here as well than Reach was. There wasn't much of a fuss made about Reach, certainly from a retail standpoint, but Halo 4, a lot of stores are getting behind it big time. So it's good to see. It's good to see. There's some healthy anticipation for it. So it will be exciting to see what the launch events are like over here.
yeah, I mean, over here, things don't tend to get... I see videos from things in the States, and it always looks a lot more fun than anything I've seen over here. But hopefully people will get a bit more riled this time. But we're terribly reserved, usually, on this island. Yeah, I think the hype is mainly because it's a numbered sequel now. It's a bit more of a big deal than... I mean, it was important to us, Halo Reach, as us Halo fans, but to the world at large, it's not a true sequel unless it's got a number after it. So ODST and Reach are not going to make as much noise as this is. And it is a big deal for us as well. It's a bigger deal because it's obviously 343's first test. It's the first one without Bungie. It's a nerve-wracking, exciting time.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
I'm thinking one of you guys would have said something else. That's pretty much all I had to really cover for you guys. And unless there was something specifically, maybe not necessarily Halo related that you want to talk about, I'm going to take that as a no.
Obviously, we've got a slight agreement with letting Tom talk first, so that I don't.
Oh, sorry, I dropped the ball there. Then no, I haven't. Sorry, I've had a very long shift at work today.
Yeah,
and I've got a cold.
I was worried if we should stick with that plan or if I shouldn't take over anyway. No, there's nothing not Halo related I want to say, just in the realm of podcasting. I just want to thank you on behalf of the fans, Dustin, for the awesome work you've been doing. It might seem a bit creepish, but both me and Tom have discussed this like off mic. We're amazed at how much content you get out and the cool people you get on, and you keep all this cool stuff going. And for me, that does an 8-hour shift like 5 nights a week, and I need 37 and a half hours of podcast to get me through. I really appreciate it. So you're working hard, and it is appreciated, man. Yeah. Just wanted to let you know.
Well, we have gotten kind of mixed reviews from people on that they like the long shows, that they don't necessarily like them as long. We've gotten more support for having the long shows, though, because it, like you said, it kind of does fill time when people are at work or driving and that kind of stuff. So we are getting community support from it, and it's nice to hear it come from you guys as well. So,
well, all I'd say is make sure you keep enjoying it. Don't ever do it anything to the point.
I always do it to enjoy it. It's just a matter of like how far is too far and giving up sleep to get stuff done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm slightly worried about you, and I want to make sure you're okay.
Well, so after we're done recording this, I'm probably going to take a nap, to be perfectly honest.
Sounds like a good plan.
That's the weird thing about podcasts, is because like I know we've never actually talked before, not even before doing this podcast. But where I've been listening to you for so long, even before our podcast existed, I feel like you're a mate, even though I've never reached out. I'm not a forum guy. I don't send emails, really. I only started engaging with the community when we started doing our podcast. And so even though it's like a completely one-way street, I feel like you're a friend. And like we've never talked before. That's got to be kind of odd. But I do worry that you're putting out so much stuff that you're not leaving enough time for things like sleeping and eating.
Well, I mean, I definitely eat. I usually spend like 10 hours at work because I do 8-hour jobs. It's an hour commute, and then I take an hour to work out. That's one of the things I definitely do keep on doing, is I work out every day I'm at work.
Wow.
So there is that. Most of the times I skip, like this last week, I got on average maybe 5 hours of sleep per day, which really is not enough.
You can run on that for a little while. That's not too bad.
I've been doing that for the past month.
Okay, maybe. Wow. I say doing
and
that
it's
for
gonna,
more
and it's I'm kind of going to use tonight as a recovery night, and hopefully, depending on whether tomorrow will be either I don't have any work or I can at least work from home, and that way I can kind of focus on some stuff here and catch up on a little bit more Z's as well. It's a major time commitment, and
the thing is,
donations are appreciated. How about that?
Yeah, fair enough. The only major concern is that it doesn't seem like it's going to stop when Halo 4 actually comes out with Spartan Ops and everything else. It's going on for another 10 weeks.
We are going to slow down a lot more so than we are right now. So
cool.
We had a format that we used a while back when Halo 3 originally came out, with when Fumo, Jive, and JVB were actually doing it. And we started doing the same thing with Reach, but Reach didn't really seem as quite as popular. So But we are going to kind of go back into the format where we do one show that's dedicated to campaign, one show that's dedicated to multiplayer, and then one show that's dedicated to people making custom items, whether it's Forge, game types. And they can do funny tales, just send kind of random stuff in like that.
Oh, Tales from the Foxhole, is it coming back?
Yep, we'll be doing Tales from the Foxhole.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like the old rotation of like multiplayer, single player, and community, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah, and we're going to throw Spartan Ops in there now, since that's a new
addition. Oh, that makes sense. That brings you up to a month.
So we'll have a four... what's likely going to happen is we're going to have a four-part show, and it's probably going to be like a two-hour-long show every week. We're gonna try to divvy it up as close to 30 minutes as possible for each segment. We tend to go over those.
Yeah.
as you can tell by a lot of the podcasts we do, we aim for 45 to an hour. We usually end up an hour and a half.
I have no idea how long we've been going now. How long have we been going now?
55 minutes. And I said it would only be about 30, 45 minutes.
Well, this seems like a logical sort of, we're winding down now.
Yeah, but that's still 10 minutes over than originally intended.
Oh, well, we tried.
So, I mean, it's just kind of the nature of the beast, really.
It happens to us as well.
When you have people that are just so adamant about the universe, it's hard to shut people up.
Yeah, well, it's the passion, isn't it? What you need to do is you need to buy yourself a hacked Macintosh built in 2007 that dies after an hour of recording, and then you can never spill over an hour.
Don't give away all our secrets.
The thing is that I would stop and then start again. I wouldn't just, like, get fault.
We do have to do that sometimes.
Yeah, we've done it a few times, especially when it does crash and I lose all the audio.
Oh.
I think you need an upgrade, dude.
Yeah, I need some money to get an upgrade first. It will happen one day.
So donations are welcome.
Yeah, we should do that.
Touché, sir. Touché. So why don't you go ahead and plug your podcast and website and whatever else you have social media-wise.
Okay, so you can catch Dust and Echoes out at daepodcast.com. You can talk to us on Twitter at Dust and Echoes. You can send us an email if you wanted to at daepodcast@gmail.com. And we're also on iTunes, so subscribe and you'll automatically get every new show that comes out, which, to be honest with you, the subscribers seem to get the shows before anyone who doesn't subscribe because of the crazy way iTunes works.
Wait, you mean like RSS feed subscribers or?
Anyone who seems to be subscribed to us through iTunes.
Okay.
For some reason, the subscribers get the automatic download before it actually pops up as available to download on our channel for some reason. I don't know how iTunes works, but if you subscribe, you'll get it first.
I know for Podtacular, it usually shows up within 10 minutes of me posting
the show.
Wow, that's
quick. Maybe it's the UK.
It's actually based on the popularity of your podcast. You're slightly more popular than us, and They rank it by that. If it's a really, you've got a lot of subscribers, then it actually updates quicker. We have to wait a little while.
That would explain it.
We'll catch up once we've done over 400 episodes.
That's a long time out, buddy.
It is.
That is a long time out.
We'll start doing one an hour.
or you could shotgun it like us. Just keep on popping them out left and right.
We could, but we're far lazier than you are.
Or far smarter.
Thanks for having us on, Dustin.
Yeah, well,
it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for coming on, though. We would definitely love to have you guys on again in the future.
Definitely, we'd love to.
Whenever you want, whenever you want.
And we'll have to have you on our show as well.
Fair enough.
If you ever find a time in your schedule.
I usually have times in... Well, my evenings. By then, it's midnight your time.
Yeah, the time difference is an issue.
Yeah,
that is one of the problems with getting people on from the States, unfortunately, is that by the time they're available, we're asleep.
Yeah, Sundays are open for me most of the days, though. Most of the hours throughout the day.
We will work something out then. We will definitely get something done.
Yeah, sounds good.
Definitely.
So thank you guys for listening. Make sure you check out our website, podtacular.com. While you're there, check out our forums. We will be issuing out a revamped of the site, hopefully sometime this week before the launch of Halo 4. It's been slow. I have to do Uber Crunch on that one too, so I'll probably be losing more sleep over trying to get that done as well. So if you want a sneak peek at it, you can go over to beta.podtacular.com/forums, and that's where we have just a few dummy forums set up there where you can kind of just generally chat with other people. And we're kind of doing our mods and alterations to the board over there. So if you want to see kind of what we're working on, you can go over there in the meantime. You can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook. We have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/podtactv. And I really can't say what I'm going to be releasing, but come the lift of the embargo, you want to make sure that you're subscribed to our channel.
Ooh.
Yeah. Also, you can check out, we have one more Monday Night Matchmaking, depending on when you're listening to this. It's going to be on October 29th. We're starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We start on Halo Reach Matchmaking. We go for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and we switch over to some customs. And then depending on the mood of the room that we're in, we switch over to Halo 3 matchmaking for about an hour or so. That's going to be the last Monday Night Matchmaking until Halo 4 comes out. We are not doing one on the 5th because everyone should be at midnight launch parties. But we will be looking at resuming it on the following week for November 12th. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes and Zoom Marketplace, or you can subscribe via our website and using RSS. Also, if you have any questions that you want to ask the guys over at Dustin Echoes, you can send them an email at the email they provided, or you can send us an email about that or any of the other topics that we've discussed recently on our shows, or any other Halo questions that you may have. Send those to submissions@podtacular.com, or you can use the green button on the homepage. And that'll wrap it up for this show. I will want to thank Tom and the Wolf again for coming on and talking about their podcast. And we will see you guys next time.
Podtacular rocks.